Well, good evening, Harvest family. Come right on in. We're going to be starting a new series tonight on the local church, and tonight's I have an introduction, but I kind of have an introduction to my introduction. I was going through my notes this afternoon and ran across a few things and some things that I did some years ago, and I was looking through it. So this is back from 2015, and where I was doing some reading. And I was going to just read just a couple of these things before we start our service tonight without going into detail, because I don't know how I'm going to merge it into what I'm doing tonight without throwing everything off. But just going to share a few things, and we'll, of course, we'll have a word of prayer first, and Brother Sam will come and we'll sing, but just going to take a couple of minutes. But let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, the joy of fellowship, the joy of service. Thank you for the privilege that we can come together and assemble together tonight, though, as we gather together. And Lord, I pray that you bless and move in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if I asked you the question, what is the most important thing to you, what are some things that come to mind? And I think we need to relook at and reevaluate and rethink the importance of the local church. And we have gotten away so much in many areas in reference to the local church. And throughout centuries, verses here we're going to look at tonight in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where the Lord talks to Peter, tell him, upon this rock I will build my church. There are a lot of churches that have built false doctrine upon that verse by not interpreting Scripture correctly. And they have caused continuing discussions of false interpretations that have been supported by churches all across our country today. Many, in fact, enormous changes have occurred even within the Roman Catholic Church itself, or the Roman Church. But it still remains a mystery how religious scholars could have been so mistaken. Some 10 years ago, one of the representatives made this comment. A nationally known priest was interviewed on television network 10 years ago when asked to explain the new ideas being propagated within the church of the Catholic Church. He replied, "We have come to the understanding that certain verses do not mean what we thought they meant." So the first thing we need to do is realize what they don't mean, and then we can build a couple examples and I'll sit down. Peter was never meant to be the foundation upon which the church was built. Peter was not even the leader of the apostles. Peter was not one who opened the kingdom to the Gentile world. That was Paul. There are several mistakes there. And Peter was not the only apostle to whom the gift of remitting sins was granted. It was to other men as well. Again, it's that springboard teaching and preaching and taking those things. And by the way, I believe I understand that, didn't Peter have a mother-in-law as well? So there we go. There's another thing that we have concern about. That's why it's important that we know what things don't believe and where we should not go, and then establish where we should go and how we should move forward. And we'll talk about that over the next several weeks. I'm not going to split hairs with anyone here that disagrees with me. Okay? Personally, I do not believe the church started at Pentecost. I think it started somewhere between Matthew 16, 18 and Matthew 19. Because he says, I will build my church upon this rock. And then later they refer to church discipline and how to handle things. Well, how can you discipline someone from something that doesn't exist? It had to have been there before Pentecost. So, again, I'm not going to split hairs with anybody over that. The principles are still the same. We have a local church. The Lord has established it. And we are to protect her. She is the bride of Christ. And therefore, we should treat her that way. So, all that was my intro. It was all free. Intro before the intro.
All right. Tonight is request night, so find your favorite song, and if I select you, I'll ask you to give a short testimony, if you would, and then we'll sing a verse, or maybe the first and last verse of your favorite song. I see you, Michelle.
Power in the blood, power.
Some of you had a chance to go online, as I've mentioned, Brother Harold Clayton preached before. He would make his own signs and bring them, and while he's preaching, he would hold up, praise the Lord, amen, looking for cues for somebody to help him out. And it's a good thing to say amen and praise the Lord in church. It's like saying sick him to a pit bull to the preacher when he's preaching. Amen. All right. Some of y'all getting that a little bit later. Matthew chapter 16, and I may have got a little tongue twisted earlier, but as I mentioned before, I don't split hairs, but I feel like somewhere between Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, the Lord established a church. And anyway, either way you look at it, we're going to be talking about the local church over the next several weeks and get into a lot of areas of the church. I'm in no hurry at all, whether it takes 8 weeks or whether it takes 52 weeks, I'm in no hurry. And I think in many aspects, as I've mentioned before, and we'll read Matthew 16, beginning verse 13 in just a moment, I think we've gotten away from some of the things and the importance and the realization of the local church. Speaking of the local church, don't forget, Wednesday night, we have our financial reports. We've announced it several times. We pushed it last week to the next week. We still had our church officers last week, but we'll have that on Wednesday night. God has been good to us. And, you know, sometimes I think when we're reminded, sometimes we get comfortable and we ease into things, and things that we used to do, now we take for granted, or we don't always do things the same way that we used to do it. Now, I'm going to step on some toes, and I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, I'm sorry. I love you. Ladies, sharpen up your elbow if you want to. Sit a little closer to your husband. But I still open the door for my wife. I remember some of you probably did that when you were courting, when you were doing things with them and for them. Oh, Miss Carrie, did you find a warm spot over there? Y'all move seats. Yeah. on the other side, over there where it's warmer. But, you know, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing, not just with each other, with our family, but also our church. How important is our church? How important is church to you? I mean, it's not, and we'll talk more about it as we go, but it's not a building. It's a people. And it is a called out assembly, ecclesia is what the church is, and is made up of believers, and there are multiple believers all around the world, but this is the gathering, the assembly, the ecclesia here for us at Harvest Baptist Church. We are privileged that we are meeting indoors. I've held Bible studies and VBSs and programs outside, and it always wasn't warm, and the sun wasn't always shining, but that's what we had. But God has blessed us, and if we're not careful, we'll take some things for granted. I think the church of God should be clean. I think it should be well-kept and well-groomed. I think we still, in many aspects, and if we're not careful, you know, this is not an auditorium. It's a sanctuary. If we're not careful, even myself might refer to it as an auditorium. But it is a sanctuary. It is a place where we go and we worship and we fellowship and we praise the Lord. And when we drive up on these church grounds, do we begin in our minds to realize that, hey, man, we're a church. And we're coming to the house of God. This is a sacred place. And a sacred place should be cared for, prayed for. And at the same time, with those who make up that sacred place, those people should be prayed for and cared for as well. Matthew chapter 16, let's begin reading in verse number 13. And tonight, we'll just go through the real introduction. That was a little impromptu thing that I found in my notes this afternoon. But we'll get to the real introduction tonight, and we'll go through our points in further weeks. The Bible says in Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's telling them who he is. I'm the Son of Man. And they say, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but thy Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us tonight as we look at a few things. And Father, consider in many cases be reminded. And for some that will be learning as we have a variety of different folks with us tonight. But Father, help us most importantly, whether it be learning, whether it be reminded and relearning. But Lord, help us to glean from the scriptures. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in the name of our wonderful Savior. Amen. I really like in verse 17 where Jesus said, and the Lord says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Folks, if we want to hear from heaven, we need to make sure that we're walking with our Heavenly Father. We need to make sure that we're in the Word and sense of those things that just like he spoke to Peter, revealed this thing to him, he reveals things to us as well. God in his infinite wisdom ordained three divine institutions for mankind. Of course, I'm sure you're aware of these, but the first institution was the home. So often, if we're not careful, we can get very well caught up, and I was raised in a time and an era where some of these things were confused. The church is important, but number one, God has ordained the home. And as we work on our relationship with him, then that will help our home, but it also go into the next step. The second institution was the church. God established a home, he established a church, and as we move a little further, we see that the institution next was human government. Now, here's something we need to understand about human government. It's only as strong as the local church. Hold on there for a minute. We need to understand and realize as believers, we can have an impact. And I'm afraid through the years, we have lost some of that influence. It certainly is true as goes the home, so goes the church. This ought to be an influence upon human government. The church and the home. We cast our vote. We pray. We're involved in our community. The home and the church has an impact, great or small, on human government. Now, having said that, just how important is the church to you and to your family? It should be a priority. It should be something that is very important in your life. And I realize there's times that we're going to miss. We're providentially hindered. But we can still pray while we're not at a church service. We can still ask the Lord to do something, watch it online, or at least spend some time in prayer for those that are able to be there. Do you see the church as a place made up of brick and mortar? Do you see the church as a body made up of God's people? See, in general, people hop about in search of what suits their taste at that very moment. And this is a pet peeve for me. Today we have kind of the McChurch mentality. Burger King one day, Wendy's the next, and then back to McDonald's. Folks, church is not like that. It's not have it your way. It's not. We need to make sure what God says in God's way. Again, the church has become just another retail outlet, and faith is just another commodity. People change congregations, change preachers, and even denominations as readily as they change banks or grocery stores. Shouldn't be that way. Oh, that dedication, that loyalty, that being involved in getting plugged in. Bouncing here and there and everywhere means you have no responsibility anywhere. But being plugged in to a local church, being plugged in to a local gathering, assembly, a called out place where I can be involved and be my church family, my pastor, my family, where we can be involved and minister to and with one another. But yet far too many are looking at the church as a spiritual social club. An institution that offers convenient relationships, but certainly not as an influence on how to live or what to believe. Yes, the church should have a impact on our life and we should have relationships, but we don't go to church in order to attain relationships to gain on the outside of the church. You know, like businessmen or doctors or dentists or chiropractors that want to come in and pass out cards and be at a church for a while to gain a little business and they move to the next one. Well, preacher, how do you know that? Because I've seen it. I mean, we need to be serious. I don't like moving. And believe me, I have moved more times in my life than I ever care to desire. It's nice to be in one place. And when I look back to the years of ministry as a missionary, we did have to do some moving and starting church or relocating, starting another one, helping a church there. But the main thing is God wants us to be. He wants us to plant ourselves and get involved in the place that God has led us to and minister and be ministered to. Because running around, roaming here and there is not helping our spiritual life. So we have become more concerned about personal fulfillment the church can deliver rather than what the church stands for. I get excited when someone asks about the church and what they believe, and even so much more, not only how the church can help me, but how can I be involved as well. So too many families are looking for a place so they can go and just sit and they get all their needs taken care of. In other words, they want to be a guest every time they show up. See, when someone comes to our house, they're a guest. For the first visitor, too. And Michelle, we wait on everyone. I make the coffee. I pour the tea. I help clear the table. We do everything to be guests and honor them. Oh, no, we've got this. We're taking care of it. But you come by our house more than two or three or four times, and you need some coffee, I'm going to say, well, go ahead and make it. It's right over there. Make me a cup while you're at it. You're not a guest any longer. You know, because you're family. And it should be that way in the church. We shouldn't be bouncing around and always expected to be served and looked at as honored guests. But we need to be a part of the hosting and ministering of others by getting plugged in. See, as we search the New Testament, the body of God's people has little to do with slick marketing and fancy facilities. But not today. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to have some marketing. We need to do some things, but it shouldn't be just all about that. Everything you do to bring them in, you're going to have to raise the bar to keep them in if you're drawing them for that reason. It's the preaching of the Word of God, the right kind of music, loving on people is what's going to build people, what's going to build boys and girls. If we start handing out hamburgers every week, before long, it's going to have to be a double cheeseburger. And before long, it's going to have to be a triple to keep them to stay there because it's for the wrong reason. I'm not against using things to bring people in. Don't misunderstand me. But if it's all about the hoopla and all about the promotions only and there's no follow-up, there's no teaching, there's no encouragement, then you'll begin to lose those people. They need to be discipled. They need to be encouraged. They need to be loved on. Like Miss Cindy said a few moments ago in her testimony, she felt like it had been part of this family for her whole life. Loved, received, and welcome. And that's the way everyone should feel every time they step in the church doors or arrive on the parking lot, knowing what's coming just around the corner. But again, as we see this, as we search the New Testament, I'll repeat this, the body of God's people has little to do with slick marketing or fancy facilities, but it does have everything to do with the people and the Spirit of God in her midst. We need to make sure that we're majoring on the right thing. If we're not careful, we'll have our minoring moving above the major. We need to make sure that Christ is the main thing. He is to be preached, taught, encouraged, and setting an example of who he is in our lives. You see, too often we think of building when we hear or use the word church. Again, what I referred to earlier. But we need to refresh our thinking biblically to remember that the church is a body, not a building. God's church is the corporate body of believers that meets in local congregations around the world. You see, many in our culture, yes, even in some Christians, are confused about the church. I'm encouraged when we travel, when we go up and we find a place and we go in and we have a joyful time of fellowship. And we feel like it's just home. Why? Because we have that commonality in Christ. It's encouraging to be away from my church home. And though I miss my church family, it's good when we can find a place to go to, maybe someone we've visited before or known from previous vacations, that we can enjoy the fellowship. Here in April, I'll throw this in real quick. I received the bad news the other day that my mother has an aneurysm on her brain. They're doing some work and doing some tests to make sure she has no blood clots. So Michelle and I are planning to go see my family, my mom and dad, or her mom and dad. Her stepfather is on oxygen. Her mom's not doing well. But I told mom, I said, Mom, look, if the doctor says it's that bad, after you have this neck scan, there's great concerns, I will come earlier. All you have to do is ask. And of course, I'm sure everything will be fine. April will be fine. I said, well, you let me know. And of course, I'll talk to my sister. I said all that to say this. When we do go back there, back east, and we do visit my family and go to the church where used to be Michelle and our whole sending church as missionaries, and we do go to visit her mom and dad and go to the church there where they attended, we are well welcomed because we have that commonality where our family goes. They know us as Doug and Michelle, Doug and Jesse's son and daughter-in-law, Lydia and Chuck's daughter and son-in-law. They know us and they love on us because we are involved not only in the ministry but because we're part of the extended family. And that's what a church should be like. And we need to remember, it's not the building, it's the people. Again, many in our culture have those things confused. See, it's important that we begin with a thought in our study that we're going to be going into over the next several weeks on the foundation of power and glory in the church. The power and glory in the church. Everything that happens in our life, everything that we try to do on the outside for the name of our Lord has to come with the power and glory of the church. Then knowing that this is where we build men and women and boys and girls spiritually speaking. As we go out and they need to understand and realize what church is all about. It is a place where we're going to have programs and activities. And we've got one coming up. Here, February the 9th, don't forget, our fellowship, we're going to have a ball. We're going to have a great time. But also at the same time, remember, we're doing this all as a gathering, as God's people, in the name of God, in the house of God, or an extended building. We need to understand the importance of the local church, the power and the glory in the church. See, our responsibility as believers is to prioritize the spiritual body of Christ above the buildings that we build or that we rent. Why? So that people are drawn to Him through the beauty of His bride. I want people to come to church and they come because of a new building or they come because of the facilities. I hope that changes once they get here. I hope they see it's not about the buildings. It's not about the beauty. It's not about whatever they may say. It's about what takes place in this sanctuary as we praise and glorify our Heavenly Father because He deserves all the glory. This is the bride of Christ. For more than 2,000 years, through periods of, here's just a few more blanks, persecution and blessing, God has sustained His church. We in America have gone through a few things during that pre-COVID, COVID time and now. But you know, it's nothing compared to what some countries have gone through. As a former missionary living in Eastern Europe, we know what hardship is like. We know some of the testimonies, meeting men who were thrown in prison simply for preaching the gospel. Others that were put in prison for smuggling Bibles or telling others or speaking of God. But yes, we must remember, there will be periods of persecution and blessings. But even through all those things, God will sustain His church. With tender wisdom and love, God has nurtured and kept the church as the apple of His eye. It makes no difference what goes on out there. Makes no difference what our government does. The church will stand. We may have to go into hiding. We have to meet in secrecy. Think about it for a moment. Think about some of our communist countries today. Do you realize that there are probably a whole lot more churches that are meeting in secret in China today than we realize? Underground, in secrecy. Many have been persecuted, have been put in prison, have lost their homes, have lost their jobs. But yet the Bible promises that God will protect and keep His church. I met a missionary, and I don't want to call his name because he has served in China for many years, and to my knowledge, he's still there. They got caught. They had some trouble. They had a church in their apartment building. They were meeting there. They had other secret places they were meeting in. They had found some other abandoned buildings were being built, which has happened a lot in China, to make it look good all over the place that were never finished. And they would meet in some of these buildings underneath cover. And they had to be very careful, but that's what they did. They got caught and they yanked and pulled their passports and told them, you're going to have to go back to America. What you're doing is not accepted here in China. And they pretty much kicked them out of the country. Somebody came to the door who lived in their building, who worked for the communist government, who wasn't a believer, but was beginning to wonder about this thing called God in the church. He came by and knocked on the door, and he told the missionary who he was, and this missionary almost said his name, recognized him and knew that he worked for the government because he's been very careful about his relationship. And he says, I understand you're being kicked out of the country. And he said, yes, they've already taken our passports. He said, well, I've saw to it and made sure they have been burned and destroyed. Go back to the States, wait 90 days, reapply, and come back. But I didn't tell you that. And he left. Communist. Works for the government, beginning to see the needs and what the local church means and how it has affected his community, his building, and the people that attended. He thought we needed something back like that. We need this in our country, but I don't have the power or authority to keep you here, but I can help you to get back in. God protects his church, and through the church, he has chosen to reveal his glory to the world. We must remember that the primary purpose of the church is found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. See, the church is the proper place for the glory of the Almighty God. Folks, if we look at this and we remind ourselves that this is God's bride, this is God's house, this is his sanctuary, man, we our thoughts and minds, if we would think about that, maybe it would allow us to think in the mind of, wow, what's God going to do today? Hey, this is his house. When you come to my home and we open the door, we're going to say, welcome to our home. We're going to invite you in. We're going to treat you well. We're going to feed you well. We're going to have a good time of fellowship together. And we should anticipate no less when he comes to God's house and when he welcomes us in. We should prepare for a celebration and excitement and wondering, wow, I wonder what God's going to do today. Or as Brother Enoch would put it, good. I wonder what God's going to feed us today. Wonder what God has for us. What's going to happen today? Sometimes it would help us to change our thought and our attitude before we even get in to the house of God. As a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bear the light of him who is the light of the world. Think about that this morning. We bear the light of him who is the light of the world. We are those light carriers. It is he who is called out of darkness into this marvelous light. You have there in your notes of Psalm 63 in verse 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee to see thy power and glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. Boy, I like that first part. O God, thou art my God. Do we take that literally? This is my God. This is my church, my place of worship, my place of fellowship, the place where God has planted me. And if God has planted you here, let's bloom where we're planted. Let's bloom and blossom and do everything and ask God to help us do all that he would have us to do. How long has it been since the church in our land experienced any widespread divine visitation of the power and the glory of God? You know, I don't have an answer. I've seen revival somewhat. Maybe it was revival breakout. But have we really seen the power and glory of God in this land, in this generation, or the last century? Unless there is revival within the church, how can there be evangelism in the world that brings unsaved men and women and boys and girls to a saving knowledge of Christ? We've all heard the old saying, the best way to have revival is just to make that big circle and step in and say, Lord, send revival and start it with me. Start with me. Each of us individually, that we might come together collectively in that desire and longing and praying for revival and for God to do something special. Listen to this statement. The kingdom of God is not going to advance by our church becoming filled with men, but by men in our church becoming filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it's one thing to have men, and I love it on Sunday morning to see that those men come up and have a time where they pray for their pastor, and as I pray for them, and as they pray for the church, it just thrills my soul. But what we need even more than more men being involved, we need more men that are Spirit-filled doing the work of God. It's not just filling the church with men, which is good, but having those men that are filling the church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I sincerely believe that what is the true and the physical family, again, I sincerely believe that what is true in the physical family, like your family and mine, is also true of the church. Again, in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Let's say it this way. Unless the Lord build the church, they labor in vain who build it. We should never forget that the church, with all of its faults, will stand until Jesus comes again. Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We need to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing to keep ourselves clean, so our part of the church is a clean vessel. We need to make sure that we can all we can to empty our vessel of the worldly things as much as we possibly can. We still live in a body of flesh and blood, but all that we can, that we might be filled with the Spirit of God and saying, Lord, use me. Help me to make an impact today. Help me in the house of God, in the house of worship. When I come to the sanctuary, Lord, help me to be ready to lift my voices in praises and singing, to be prepared for what you have ready for me in the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Dear friends, I can't explain it. And I'm not going to put up a list of things that I think that might be it and close my eyes and throw a dart. But I will say this, it's been getting gooder and gooder the last few weeks. Boy, the singing's been wonderful, the fellowship, the choir, the special music, and Lord willing, the preaching too. But it's been wonderful. I think it's just beginning. I hope it never plateaus, but it's beginning to go forward. And I think a lot of it has to do with us. A lot of it has to do with us having a desire to see God work and to move in our lives individually as well as collectively and moving together in the same direction. There's no sense of us. I mean, we may have two sides of the auditorium. And I'm sorry, folks. I know I preach a lot over there. Y'all just so good people. That they're scoundrels over there. But no. But we can't look at it that way. We may be sitting in different parts of the auditorium, but we are one as a family. As we work together, pull together, pray together, move together, God's going to do some awesome things in the days to come as we serve Him. So the question, another question, what makes the church invincible from destruction from Satan to the powers of government? And the answer is found in our text that we've read. I'm not going to read the whole text again, but I'll read just verse 18. And I say unto thee, for thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Dear friends, it's His. We are stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And if God owns everything in my wallet, if God owns the car that I drive and the home that I live in, if God owns my family, most certainly He owns the church. And we need to make sure that we're doing all we can to keep her pure, to keep her clean, and doing the things which right in honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. We should never want to start or be in the middle or the end of the service where we felt like anything that took place would be a disgrace to our Savior. But it all should be moving toward lifting Him. You see, the word here, this I guess our last couple of blanks, the word church is used 3 times in the Gospels. And 113 times in the rest of the New Testament. Here in our text is the first mention of the church in the New Testament. Jesus is laying the foundation for the church in this passage as we answer that question that I asked earlier. Why is the New Testament church invincible? And we'll look at that next week. No, I'll go ahead. I'll give you the point number one, and we'll start that next week. Because of the transformed nature of its membership. Because of its transformed membership. Think about that for a moment. Folks, hey, if a change didn't take place on the inside, there's no way that we could be doing what we want to do for the Lord on the outside. That transformation has to take place. And we'll start there next week and maybe a few other points. But a reminder once again, why is the New Testament church invincible? Why is it the bride of Christ? Why is it so important to him? It's because of the transformed nature of its membership. And dear friends, if you're here today and you know that you're saved, that your life has been transformed, then the next step for you is follow the Lord in believers' baptism. If you've done that as being a part of a local assembly, and if you're a part of that, it's saying, Lord, how can I by be used in this assembly because I have been transformed for your use and I want to glorify you through the church that you have put me in. I want to bloom where I have planted. But if you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, why not take an opportunity, ask anyone around or near you, I'm sure they can help you, how can I be transformed in his image, that I might be part of a local assembly and serve God with others like-minded believers. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us and for the joy of service and fellowship. And Father, help us as we begin this new study, Lord, as we look upon the church and the aspect and the thought, upon this rock I will build my church. But Father, help us to be always mindful. It's for your glory and for your honor as we serve and make up the bride of Christ. Lord, help us to remember, to live, and to act that way. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. As always, the Lord loves you.